God is good. God is good. We need to savor moments like that too. We should know all the more over these past number of months that we don't get these opportunities all that often. I mean, even in this church where I am certain I have done more baptisms than I ever have in my life before, we don't get to see them all the time. And for us, over the past year and a half or more, we've had to witness these baptisms via video on the internet or on our screens here. And goodness, something went wrong with the video for the Newman baptism, so we didn't even get to see that at all. Oh, that stinks. We need to savor these moments. And so listen to the words of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will cause joy for all the people." Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word of the Lord. Treasured these things and pondered them. How often do we dwell on the things that are not so great? One of the things we've been talking about lately is we've been talking about stress and anxiety and worry and all the struggles that that comes with. And as we talked about that, maybe it occurred to some of you or all of you, it certainly occurred to me, that we often have this temptation to dwell on the stuff that is not so great. To ponder the things that we're worried about. To dwell on them over and over and over again. Instead of pondering the beautiful things. I had a time in our previous home in Oshawa where I was sitting out in on our back patio, and I happened to notice a spider just starting to make its web. And I sat there for the whole time it took for the spider to make its web. And I just contemplated that beauty and that wonder, the awesomeness of God's creatures and creation. And it was beautiful. And it was good. But I have to admit, there are an awful lot of times where I'm just worried about what people will think of me, or what people will say of me, or how people will react to me, or what will happen in my future, or what will happen in my children's future, or what happened last week that was so upsetting and I can't get rid of it. But Mary knew. And I'm sure she wasn't perfect at it, but in this moment, she knew to treasure all those things and ponder them in her heart. A friend of mine who made the outline for this service said, and I agree with him, "The most wise and humble and grateful people I know are the ones who go through life with a sense of wonder and expectation, seeing evidence of our Creator God in the world around us." Let us pray. For the wonder of each hour of the day and of the night, Christ our Lord, to you we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. We thank you for the experiences you've given us over the past year. Some have brought us joy. Some have opened our eyes to a new dimension of life. Some have been tough, but through them we have experienced your care. We learned something. We've grown. Some of these moments have quietly nurtured us. They've been like daily bread to us. Thank you, Lord, for all these moments, for being present with us, speaking and providing each day in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. At this time, we'll dismiss the children to go to Sunday school, age 3 to grade, just whatever age. Sorry, who did you want, Wilma? Ah, good. Excellent. Wonderful. Children, you are welcome to go to Sunday school of any age. There are a couple more coming from up above. If you want to, and if your mother says yes, which I'm thinking she doesn't. Remember to savor your mother. She is a gift to you. Oh, don't roll your eyes at me, young man. I'll give you my pastor judgy eyes. You don't have to. Mothers are not given to you for you to like what they say all the time. I hate to break it to you, buddy. Wow, you could have given me like a whole new sermon right there. Okay. Yeah, right for you. After church, I'll give you a sermon if you want. Hey, and you know what? This next section is perfect because it is savoring loved ones. Huh? Because you love your mom. The joy of human love. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 15 to 23. This is Paul talking to the people of Ephesus, the Christians in Ephesus, whom he knows and he loves. He spent a good deal of time among them. And so he's writing them a letter after the time that he has spent with them. He is somewhere else in the Roman world, and he says these words, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, I've said this to you before, and I don't want to, you know, sound like a broken record, but it's important for us to remember. In the same way that Paul gives thanks for the people of Ephesus, so too I give thanks for you. And you are called to give thanks for one another. And not only are we called to give thanks for one another, but we are also called to give thanks for all the people of this earth. Those who are Christ followers here and there and everywhere, but those who are Christ followers from the past, those who are Christ followers in the future. But not only that, of course, we are called to give thanks for every human being who ever is or was or will be. They are all gifts from God. People are gifts from God. Now, I don't always feel that way in some ways. We did some, I don't know, this was a couple of years ago. We were thinking of buying a t-shirt, one for Kieran and one for me too. We never did. It was kind of sad. We should. But it says, "I'm not going outside today. It's too people-y out there." Because sometimes I just need some time alone, right? And that's true probably for everybody to some degree or another. But we are also a gift to one another. Even the person who is super angry because you got in a fender bender with them, or the person who really, really hates your perspective or your way of looking at things, or the person who just seems to hate you because of the job you have. You ever get that? Yeah, that's great, isn't it? Yeah. It's not the easiest thing in the world, is it? Right? They don't know you. They don't know Chris. They don't know Steph. Right? And yet they see a uniform, they see a police officer, and yet somehow that person there who's so angry is a gift. And do I always know how to figure that out and how to work that out? No. Or how to live that out? Not at all. But an especially great gift to us are those who love us. The Bible tells us that there are three great sort of virtues, character traits that are kind of above all other. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talks about this, that there is faith, hope, and there's love. And the greatest of these is love. The Bible also tells us that we are created in God's image, something that I've mentioned a number of different times, and I am convinced that the primary way in which we are created in God's image is that we were created to love. We are created to love God in heaven, and we were created to love our fellow humanity, and we were created to love and care for this creation that God has given us. And so those relationships, no matter how flawed they may be or how awkward they may be, those are things to be cherished, to be savored. And so, brothers and sisters, I would invite us to take a few moments to pray. And during that prayer, take some moments to silently give thanks for the people who love you, for the people you love. Let us pray. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Christ our Lord, to you we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Give thanks for those whom you love and who love you. Lord, we thank you for each one mentioned, for your work in their lives, and for the blessing they've been to us. Thank you for each one in this church. Help us to see in each other your provision and your love. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. I'll invite you to stand together as we worship our God with Now Thank We All Our God. Now thank we all. Our last time of savoring for this morning is savoring the best gift that God has ever given, that is Christ our Lord. And so I would invite you to listen to the words of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 15. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you... That it? Oh, there we go. You can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The word of the Lord. It may seem a little bit odd that really the only part that directly talks about Jesus in this passage is that last little part. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. But the reality is that our gratitude for God's gift in Jesus Christ is the motivation for doing all of the good things that we are called to do. The Heidelberg Catechism talks about how the law of God, obedience to the law of God, it fits in the category of gratitude. It doesn't fit in the category of human misery, but instead it is in gratitude. I've been asked on occasion before to preach sermons on tithing, for example. This idea that you ought to give 10% of your income to the church. That's not what we're here for this morning. This is not a tithing sermon. The problem with the tithing sermon is that it is way too limited. Not saying that you should give more than 10% to the church per se. That's not the point. The point is that in the Old Testament, there were many, many different types of offering, including the tithe. And in the New Testament, Christ says to us that gratitude leads to self-sacrificing giving. And not just financial giving, but giving of your time and your ability, your talents, your care, your concern, your listening ear, all of those things. Doing, in other words, the good works that God has prepared for you to do. Remember that Jesus praises the woman who comes and gives her last two halfpennies into the offering and says that she has given more than anybody else who has come through, even the wealthy and the powerful. Why? Because she has given everything she has. And remember the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, you've got to obey the law, because he says, what do I do to inherit eternal life? He says, you've got to obey the law. And the guy says, I've done all that. I've obeyed the law my whole life. And Jesus said to him, This you lack. Go and sell everything you have. Give it to the poor and come follow me. And the rich young man goes away sad because he's very wealthy. Or look at Matthew, the tax collector, who was among the despised people of his day. How when Jesus calls him to follow, Matthew does so. But not only does he do that, he also pays back all that he owes to those from whom he has taken more tax money than he should have. And not only does he pay it back, he pays back double what they should have returned to them. Brothers and sisters, why? Why that kind of generosity? Because of Jesus. We're so used to the idea of Jesus' sacrifice that we have forgotten just how substantial it is. It is the gift of love on the grandest scale. Right? The Bible says to us that greater love has no one than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And yet Jesus goes a step beyond that. And he gives his life for people who are his declared enemies. People who have said to God, "We don't want you in our lives. We don't want you to rule our lives. We don't want to obey you. We don't want to do what you want us to do. In fact, we'd rather nail you to a tree." And Jesus says, "I love you. I'll die for you." And he does. That's what love is. Love is not some Valentine's card, sugary, it's not, "Oh, I love you today, and then tomorrow I don't feel like it anymore." Love is love. Love that stretches out its arms and says, "I die for you." And it says that whether you're my enemy, whether you're my friend, whether you are old or young, whether you are near or far, whether you are educated or uneducated, regardless of your trade, regardless of your background, your ethnicity, regardless of your orientation, God says, "I love you. I die for you." How could we not, in response to that gift, express our gratitude through good things? When we eat our turkey today, if you're going to eat turkey today, do that as an act of gratitude. Celebrate with your family and your loved ones as gratitude to Christ for all he has done. When you go out next week to the rest of your week, when you go to work, when you're whether you're mopping the floors or changing diapers or tilling fields or putting stuff in your silo or whatever you're doing, do it as gratitude. This is the terrible thing about how Thanksgiving is often celebrated in our world, is people are encouraged to be grateful, but there's often a lack of an answer to the question, to whom? To whom are you grateful? You're grateful for this bountiful food, to whom? To the host who provided it? Okay, that's nice. Why would we have a whole holiday for that? You can just be grateful when I invite you over for dinner. Right? grateful to the ether, to the universe. Well, if we believe in a universe that has no God, the universe doesn't care whether we're grateful or not. Right? What are we grateful for, and why are we grateful for it? To whom are we grateful, and what difference does it make? Think of this. James talks about how if someone comes up to a fellow believer or anyone else and says to them, though they are poor, though they are hungry, though they are possibly living on the street, they come up to them and say, be blessed, be well, be warm. And yet they do nothing about it other than say those words. What good is that? So too with gratitude. If we wander around saying, oh, I'm so grateful for all that God has given me, and we do nothing about it, what good is that? Why bother? Instead, let us savor the greatest gift, best gift divine, our Lord Jesus Christ, and let us do so by giving in return. Let us pray. For yourself, best gift to divine, to the world so freely given, agent of God's grand design, peace on earth and joy in heaven. Christ our Lord, to you we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Lord, we thank you for blessings in the world around us and for the richness of moments and experiences. We thank you for the blessing of people. Oh, wonderful gifts. But we've reserved our most heartfelt gratitude for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Words cannot fully express our thanks. We love you, Lord. And all God's people say, amen. Brothers and sisters, our offering this morning is for local Crosstown Impact, right? That's correct still? Crosstown Impact? Yeah? Okay. Crosstown Impact is a great organization. They are a local nonprofit head by Greg Holcroft, and they do not only youth ministry, high school youth ministry in Brockville, together with a variety of churches joining together. They also do after-school programs, homework, reading programs, snack stuff, and give the gospel during that time as well. Crosstown Impact is an absolutely incredible thing that has been going on for quite a number of years, not only in Brockville, but here in Athens at Pineview, and also into Prescott now, I believe, as well. So we would encourage you, if you would like to give an offering to Crosstown Impact, the offering plate is at the back of the church. Just when you leave, you can put an offering in there if you'd like. Or as most of you know, you can also, of course, always give via e-transfer or check, and you know how to do that as well. Let us, as we come close to the close of this service, come to God in closing prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the work of Crosstown Impact. We thank you so much for the work that you have called each and every one of us to do in our own way, in the time that you have given us, wherever we are and whatever we are doing. Lord, we pray that you will help us to glorify you in everything we do. We pray that you will help us, that these offerings that we bring today would be a pleasing aroma to you. And Lord, we pray that we would live lives of gratitude and thanksgiving. We pray this in Jesus' name.